This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, I think we're good to go now. Shalom Aleichem, welcome everyone. Baruch Habaim. So it's somewhat with mixed emotions that we begin the Tikkun Leil Erev Shavuos, because we're so used to, it's become a kviyus. One of the highlights of the year certainly is the learning in our shul Leil Shavuos, but this year it's going to have to be in a little bit of a different venue, as we're going to be having the outdoor option for this coming Yom Tov. And what I would like to speak about is Inyana Diyoma, certainly questions that are on everybody's mind. This has become, aside from the historic name that this time of our lives is being called, the Corona period, but even in Sifrei Halacha, it's been dubbed, it's been given a special name. It's called Tekufas HaKorona. It's the Corona period of history. It's a period of time, probably in a way more significant than the Spanish flu, even though that killed far more people. But nevertheless, this period has affected the world to a certain degree in a larger sense. And amazingly, Baruch Hashem, le'amen li'Yisrael, that the Ribbono Shel'Olam always provides for Klal Yisrael, especially in the sense of rabbinic leadership. And that is, we've encountered many, many shailos that probably in the history of the world we've never encountered. And Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu designated and prepared for us G'dolei Yisrael, who were up for the task and able to navigate and able to lead us during these very challenging and difficult periods. And to me, one of the great, most astounding feats was Rav Asher Weiss, one of the great poskim today, penned 170-something pages of tshuvos about this period of time, about Corona. And he discussed the shailos ranging from shailos that come up in tefillah, shailos that come up in Kriyas HaTorah, during the Yimei Svira, during Pesach, shailos in how to deal with old people, shailos in technology, what kind of leniencies are allowed, what kind of chumras do we need to continue to adhere to. And these are questions that we've never really faced before. And I would like to sort of cherry pick a number of these shailos. And out of 172 pages, I sort of went through it, or at least to a superficial degree, and picked out some of the most interesting shailos. But honestly, I don't even know if we're going to get to them tonight, because Rav Asher Weiss's hakdama and his introduction and approach to how to view an epidemic, and how to the Torah Hashkafa toward hygiene and the Torah Hashkafa toward guarding your health really was quite eye-opening for me. And many, many really astounding chidushim. And that's what I would like to primarily discuss this evening. What is the Torah approach to guarding one's health? What is the Torah approach to keeping oneself safe from disease? To what extent does one have to go to prevent the spread of disease? Somebody may ask, some shuls are opening, some shuls are closing. It seems a little bit far-fetched that we're not going back indoors. What is the likelihood? What are the chances? And this is basically, it's a halachic shaila. It's nothing more or less than that. It's a halachic shaila. And the question is, what is the statistic likelihood that is needed to say, you can't do it? Is it 1 out of 100, 1 out of 1,000, in other words, it should be a mathematical formula. Let's see how many people there are in the United States. There are 328 million, about 100,000 died. So let's say that's about 0.03%. So is it a sakana lacha or is it not a sakana? If it's still a sakana, then we can't do anything. If it's not a sakana, so let's go back to life as is normal. Now, one important thing to bear in mind is the fact that Governor Cuomo, or the fact that de Blasio, or the fact that Trump says we could go back to shul, has absolutely no bearing on whether we do or we don't. In other words, we know if they say we can't, then we can't. Dina d'machlus adina. Certainly, if they're going l'chumra, we can't do it. But it should be obvious that just because they say, okay, we could open a shul, or just because they say we could go to camp, that has no bearing whatsoever on whether we will or we won't. Because the halachic definition of sakana has nothing to do, or may not have anything to do, with the legal definition of sakana. So that should be the basis and the introduction of tonight's subject. What's most interesting to me is that even though the Gemara is some, 1,600 years old, one would not have expected the Gemara to have a specific knowledge about epidemiology or the study of viruses. One would not expect, especially because this is only 150 years old, the knowledge that germs spread, microscopic germs could spread through the air or through food, is relatively recent to human history. And it would be quite surprising if the Gemara discusses certain concrete or definitive ideas about the spread of germs. So we begin tonight in the first column. Again, all the Maram HaKaimais come from Rav Asher Weiss's, you could call it a kuntres, but it's pretty much a sefer, Rav Asher Weiss's kuntres on the Corona period. And he really begins and bases everything off of Gemara Bava Kama. The Gemara Bava Kama says, it's on your sheet, it's on page 1, the right-hand side. It's right over here. Sorry, I don't know if that was so clear. Tan Rabbanan. Dever Be'ir, if there is a plague in the city, Kanis Raglacha. Get inside. That is the principle of the Gemara. When there's a plague in the city, you cannot be outside. It doesn't matter if you're in danger, you're not in danger, your family's in danger. It's a halacha. When there's a dever in the city, you got to get inside. Shenemar vi'atem loitetsu ishmi pesach beisayad boiker. When the Malach HaMavis comes to town, get indoors. So that's the first pasuk. By Makas Bechoros, there's a magefa, and God says, don't leave your house until morning. The Gemara cites another pasuk. Va'oimer, lechami. Lechami babachad arecha. It's not only a Shweki song, it's actually a pasuk in Yeshaya. Go, my people, go into your chambers, uskar dolasecha ba'adecha, and close the door behind you. This is going to be the key, hashkafa during a time of plague. Go indoors and close the door. Va'oimer in a third pasuk, michutz teshak el cherev, when the sword is berefting outdoors, umechadarim ema, there is fear indoors, meaning get indoors. So we have, the Gemara cites three psukim to indicate that when there's danger and when there's difficulty, you got to get indoors. My va'oimer, what does it mean, va'oimer? In other words, why is the Gemara quoting three psukim? V'chi tema, because if you just had the first pasuk, that nobody's allowed to leave their home. Hani mili bilelya, this is only in the nighttime. Maybe you would think, when you have to go indoors in the nighttime, I will be imam aloy, but during the daytime, I'll go shopping, I'll go to the stores, I'll go wherever I need to go. No, so we quote a second pasuk. Tashma lechami babachadarecha uskar dolasecha. In other words, the pasuk is saying, get inside no matter what. 24 hours a day, you just got to be indoors. So you'll say, maybe that's only when the disease is outdoors and the disease is not indoors. But what if the disease is indoors also? Says the Gemara. Vichitema, if you're going to say Hani Mili Hechadolika Ema Megavoy, maybe that's only if there's no fear indoors. But what if there's a possibility of the disease coming indoors? Then Avol Hechadika Ema Megavoy, when there's fear indoors, Kinafik, when you go outdoors, you would think it has an advantage. Listen to this. Listen to how the Gemara understands the deep psychological need of a human being to be in the company of other people. In other words, we're going to learn, and a question that is very often asked is, okay, you're going to keep people locked up, but instead of them, chas v'sham, dying from corona, they're going to die of anxiety, of depression, of worry. So what about that? Why aren't we factoring in mental health? So this is an unbelievable line in the Gemara. The Gemara says, I would think when there's fear indoors, better to go outdoors, to be in the company of people, and that's better. Kamash malon, and we're going to sort of milk this point, that avada and avada, we're worried about the psychological needs of people, and we're worried about people's anxiety. But we're more worried about the spread of germs. In other words, the Gemara, Beruach Kodsham, is evaluating psychological illness versus physical illness. And the Gemara is coming out as a klal. Now, obviously, every scenario is different. And if somebody has severe psychological distress versus a minor possibility of the spread of germs, that obviously has to be taken into account. But in a test tube, in a laboratory, physical illness is more of a concern, at least when it comes to magefa, than the psychological need to socialize. So says the Gemara, you would have thought that if there's a danger indoors, so let people go out. Listen to the words of the Gemara, Yosef Beinei Inshi Betzav Saba'ama, let them sin the company Tfei Mali. The answer is, it doesn't matter. You still just gotta get inside, regardless. Tashma Michutz Teshak El Cheref Umechadorim Ema. Even when there's fear outdoors, you still have to get in. Even when there's fear, indoors, you still have to be indoors. And now the Gemara makes an astounding statement. And let's just read the statement, and then we'll get your take on it, if you want to offer it. And we're going to learn a revolutionary pshat in this line of the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. Dever Ba'ir. If there is a plague in the city, Al Yahalech Adam Be'emtza Hadarach. Don't walk in the middle of the street. Meaning you're walking down the sidewalk, don't walk in the middle. Because the angel of death is there with his sword walking up and down the street. You don't want to bump into the wrong guy. You might bump into the Malach HaMavis. Dekivan diyavalei reshusa. Since the Malach HaMavis says reshus, to wreak havoc, miski lahedya, he's walking up and down explicitly. Shalom ba'ir, but if there's peace in the city, al yalich b'tzidei drachim, don't walk on the side of the road. Meaning on an average day, in an average, May day, don't walk on the side of the road, because that's usually where that Malach HaMavis hangs out. Dekivan d'lesei reshusa, since he doesn't have permission, mechavi chavui yamaski, he walks in a hidden way. Now, let's say what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying, when there's danger, don't walk in the middle of the road. When there's safety, don't walk on the edge of the road. So I sort of read this Gemara, and I formulated my own mystical pshat in this Gemara, and I think this is the Pasha pshat. The angel of death is not allowed just to walk around rampantly, cutting people's heads off. He's not allowed to tread up and down the main road. So when there's times of peace, you walk up and down the main road. You don't have to worry you're going to bump into the Malach HaMavis. It's when you venture off into, dangerous paths, that's when you might meet up with the Malach HaMavis. But in a time of Magefa, where the Malach HaMavis is, so to speak, given license, don't walk up and down the straight road. You might bump into the Malach HaMavis. Go on the side road. But we're going to see an astounding pshat in this Gemara. We would have thought this is an Agadata Gemara, and we're going to see this is a halachic recommendation regarding the Torah's advice about personal hygiene. But the bottom line is, the Gemara says another interesting thing, that when there's dever in a city, you're not allowed to go be in a shul by yourself. So now, why not? If I can be in my home by myself, why can't I be in the shul? So Rav Yebi is one of the early Hasidic masters, he says like this, when there's dever in the city, where do you think it comes from? By the way, I have no agenda over here, I had no interest in talking about this subject, but once we're reading the Gemara, why can't you be in a shul on your own? Because where does the dever come from? The dever comes from things that people do in the shul. People speak by the davening. So the Malach HaMavis is able to store his weapons in the shul at a time of dever, so you don't want to be there by yourself. That's what Rabbi Yevi says. Rabbi Yevi was one of the early Hasidic masters. He was buried in Ostra. I had the privilege to be at his grave last summer. Okay, so from this Gemara, we see the following principle. By the way, where's Elio? Where are you? Elio Kishitsky. He had a good idea that we should learn shailos that are negeya this tkufa. So that was a very nice idea. So we're trying to do that. But from this Gemara, we see something very important. From this Gemara, we see that the Gemara recommends that when there's a health hazard, there's a disease, there's an epidemic, you got to be inside your house. Do not venture out. So now the question is, okay, we know the Gemara says that. What has Klal Yisrael done throughout history in times of epidemics, in times of the spread of disease? So Rav Asher Weitz quotes the Sefer Likutei Amorim, which are letters of the masters of Chassidus. He quotes the great God, Rav Nachum Mendel Mivitebsk, one of the early Talmidei of the Maggid of Mezrich, that when there was a Magefa in Tveria in 1786, he writes, you know, we gathered together 10 people, we locked ourselves in our courtyard, and we did not emerge. And he says, the only people who you saw walking around, you know, just in broad daylight without any fear, were empty, low people or Gentiles. In other words, basically, it was considered low class. Everyone understood. Anyone with Seichel Hayashar understood that it's a time to be inside. So now, not only is this a Gemara, but we see this is has been Jewish practice for a very long time. Like the Navi Yeshaya says, Lech Ami ba bechadarecha usklar delasecha ba'adecha. Fine. Now, says Rav Asher Weiss, there's another very interesting nekuda that we see from this Gemara. We would have thought, perhaps, okay, you know, anxiety, psychological need to socialize, these are modern needs. This is not something maybe the Gemara would have dealt with, or was the Gemara even aware of this? But says Rav Asher Weiss, clearly you see in the Gemara that it is of the utmost importance during a time of danger, at a time of illness, that a person has to sort of get a grip of themselves and defend themselves and protect themselves with the attitude of simcha, happiness, and a positive outlook. That is a human's responsibility, so to speak, to fight off the epidemic. Where do we see this? Because the Gemara says, why do I need another pasuk? Because you would have said that if there's also a possibility of danger inside, maybe you should dafka go outside to be in people's company, to be able to socialize. That means the Gemara had at least a havamina, that socialization is such an important human need, even in a time of physical danger, that it's worthwhile to endanger yourself perhaps slightly more to go outside and socialize at the expense of putting yourself in danger. But the Gemara does conclude, after weighing the two dangers, that in fact it is more important to protect yourself physically than it is to protect your psychological needs. Which, by the way, is a very interesting idea. You know, you basically would need Ruach HaKodesh to say that in a vacuum, physical health is more vital than the psychological need. In other words, some people are saying that quarantine is killing more people than social distancing. It's probably not true, according to the Gemara. You know, old people are dying of loneliness. It's possible. But as a matter of public policy, you do see the Gemara is establishing a rule that it is more important to be concerned with the physical welfare than the psychological welfare. Now, it's a very close call. It's not like the Gemara is dismissing the psychological need. The Gemara, you weighed the two, but the upshot is, even though there is a psychological need, we're not denying it and we're not ignoring it, but we're evaluating that the physical need is more important. To me, that was an amazing Shikol Adas, it's amazing, you know, calculation, and a very interesting conclusion. Okay. But this, to me, was really an eye-opening approach, and it has affected the way I see this, and the way I've consulted with Rabbanim about these issues. The Gemara says when the Malach HaMavis is out, stay off the middle of the road, go to the side of the road. When the Malach HaMavis is away, go on the middle of the road. So again, we would say this is like a mystical type of advice. Rav Asher Weiss quotes Shas HaTshuvas Rashbash, Simon Kuf Tzadik Hei, who gives, I would consider this, really a brilliant approach to this Gemara. He says that in regular times, in healthy times, a person needs to eat, a person needs to sleep, a person needs to exercise, a person needs to exhibit personal hygiene, a person has to have family life, a person has to have marital life. These are all human needs. And to what extent does a person, so to speak, involve himself in eating? With balance, in a balanced way. You don't overindulge. You know, Rav Palm would say the word fres is a dirty word. It should not be part of someone's vernacular. It's an expression of overindulgence in eating. Don't even say the word. But we do enjoy food. We don't say, well, you can only eat, you know, flaxseed and avocado and fish oil. Within reason, you're allowed to eat meat. You're allowed to eat, sometimes have a treat. Within reason, in a balanced way. We eat in a balanced way. We sleep. It's not healthy to sleep, you know, on a regular night, 10 hours on a consistent, but it's also not healthy to sleep 5 hours. Person has to sleep a balanced amount, whatever that is for every particular individual. Person has to have a balanced family life, a balanced marital life. Those are in normal times. What about how we deal with our hygiene and germs? So, on the one hand, person has to be clean, you have to be hygienic, you have to bathe and so forth, but you can't be a germaphobe. You don't be one of these guys that carries around, you know, the Purell in his pocket and every time he touches a doorknob, you know, no, I don't shake, which might become the norm very soon, or will. In other words, be careful, but don't be a fanatic. Says the Rashbash, that's what it means in healthy times. Walk on the middle of the road. It's not telling you what point on the road to walk on. It's giving you advice in life. That in life in general, the correct approach to eating, to sleeping, to drinking, to married life, to family life, to hygiene is take a balanced approach. Okay, you need to bathe. But, you know, there are people that they need to shower every morning and every evening. Okay, I'm not commenting on what that balance is, but there is an extreme, you know. Be clean and don't be a fanatic about it. But when the Malach HaMavos is out and there's a Magifa, you need to be extreme. You don't walk the middle of the road. Don't take the golden mean. Don't say, well, you know, I'll just go about my regular business and I won't take extreme measures. The Gemara is explicitly saying that when a person... when there's magefa in the city, when there's a danger in the city, the correct path is the extreme path. The correct path is the overcautious path. So you'll say, well, you know, in the beginning, we didn't close so fast. Well, it was not an established magefa. We didn't know that it was, in fact, a magefa. There was a certain lack of knowledge. Yes, you know, we knew that it was happening in other countries, but perhaps one would say, they were communist countries. Information wasn't clear. Were they hiding? Were they telling us the truth? But when it got close and it was clear, yes, this is something that is affecting the lives of human beings in our country. We have real facts. So then the correct approach, the Gemara is saying, is the overcautious approach. Meaning you'll say, but it's overcautious. The answer is, when there's magifa, the Gemara is saying it's correct to be overcautious. Not in regular times. On a regular Tuesday, you don't have to, you know, wipe down the door openers. What are they called? The doorknobs. Thank you very much. You know, it's not necessary to, you know, to sanitize the doorknobs every door you walk into. But when there's magefa, there's no extreme is too extreme. In other words, the correct approach, now I'm sure there's a threshold, and I'm sure there's a degree of reasonability. And that's why you have different communities or different shuls. They take different measures, because everybody is trying to do what they consider the correct degree of caution. But to me, this was an eye-opening recommendation of the Gemara. The Gemara is not telling us mystical information. The Gemara is not telling us, you know, supernatural information. The Gemara is giving us direct advice that in normal times, be balanced, be clean, be hygienic in a balanced type of way. In a time of magefa, you need to go to the extreme. You walk on the side of the road. What else did the Gemara know about germs? This is really mind-boggling if you think about it. The Gemara in Ksubis talks about a disease. I don't know, I don't think there's any comparable disease. Today it was called Balei Ra'asan, where people would ooze, their body would ooze with certain wounds, and they would attract certain insects, and it was a highly contagious disease. Now today, scientifically, we happen to know that diseases spread in one of three ways. Either through blood, which means even if someone has malaria, if they're bitten by a mosquito, the mosquito could take it from Reuven to Shimon. So either disease could spread through blood, or disease could spread through the air, For example, the flu. The flu is a respiratory disease. For example, COVID-19 is a respiratory disease. Or it could spread through food. I believe the cholera epidemic of 1832 was something that was spread through contaminated water or contaminated food. So today we know the three ways the disease spread, but we only know this for maybe 100 to 150 years. We would not have expected this to be known in the times of the Gemara. Certainly the ancients in the time of the Gemara had no concept of the spread of disease. And yet the Gemara says, this on the second column, the Gemara says in Ksubas, on Daf Ayin Zayinim Adbeiz, Rabbi Yochanan called out, don't get near the bugs of the Balei Rasan. In other words, if you see that little tick or flea on one of these Balei Rasan people, don't go near those fleas because you may catch the disease. Reb Zera was careful not to be in the wind space of the Balei Rasan, even 10 feet, 20, 30 feet away. If the wind is blowing due southeast, he would not be in that direction, lest the disease spread to him. The Gemara continues, Reb Elezer would not go in the tent of the Balei Rasan. Rav Ami and Rav Asi would not eat the food of that, of the courtyard of someone who has Balei Rasan. Now, says Rav Asher Weiss, do you realize the three types of carefulness the Gemara is demonstrating? There was one Amira who was careful not to be near the bug, meaning he understood it spread through blood, and he didn't want to be bit by a bug who bit the guy with Balei Rasan. Reb Elezer would not be in the tent, or Reb Zera would not be in the airspace, because he understood it's a disease that could be spread airborne. And finally, Rav Ami and Rav Asi did not eat the food, understanding that the disease was spread through food. So this is quite astounding that, you know, 1,600 years ago, there was a clear knowledge of the spread of disease. And Rav Asher Weiss says it was nothing short of Ruach HaKodesh, because this was not information that there was any awareness of whatsoever, even 250 years ago. They knew, you know, don't drink from certain wells, but that's pretty much it. Okay, so now let's establish, let's try to understand, and what I'm about to say is certainly the opinion of Rav Asher Weiss, but obviously, you know, it's an opinion to reckon with, and I think it's worthwhile to discuss the subject, even if other poskim perhaps have a different take on it. I mean, to me personally, his concept that he brings out from the Gemara, that at a time of plague, the correct path is not the balanced path, but rather the overcautious path, certainly affects the way, you know, I approach things, because this seems to be a very compelling message of the Gemara. Okay, so now the question is, there has to be a bar and a threshold and to say that, look, we allow people to drive cars, we allow people to go to work, even though there is a degree of danger involved in driving a car or going on a train or going on an airplane. And no one would find any halachic recommendation saying, you know, you're better off walking than taking a car, even though taking a car is much more dangerous. So what exactly is the level of threshold? Because, you know, car accidents are it happens, and people in Nebuch are, it affects their life forever. And so is COVID-19, and is one more statistically possible than the other? So Rav Asher Weiss basically establishes a principle that statistics are not the only factor that we look at when determining whether something is sakanas nefashis. So he begins as follows. I'm still on page one. I'm an Ois Beis. You know, clearly we're not going to go through everything, but I figured I'm going to start you off. Maybe we'll read one particular Mara Makoim, one particular Shaila. And then over Shavuos, you know, if anybody needs a booklet, I'll be happy to print it out and get it over to you. Or we sent it out an email, you know, I recommend if you could print it out. And this way, it's interesting to learn either Shavuos night or at any of the meals or throughout the Yom Tov. Okay, so the Gemara in Tainus says, what is considered a dever that you fast over and you blow shofar? So the Gemara says like this, if there are 500 people living in the city, and you have one person that dies every day for three consecutive days, Now, 1 out of 500 does not seem to be a very high statistic. But I do tell you, it is higher than the number of people that died in the COVID. So at least by quick calculation that I made tonight, you know, and you could check me up. All you fact checkers out there, I know you're going to, you know. But from what I came up with, there are 328 million people living in the United States. And over 100,000 people, unfortunately, died with the COVID-19. That's approximately 0.03%. Okay? 1 out of 500 is 0.2%, which is basically much, much more threatening and dangerous. In other words, nowhere near 1 out of every 500 people died in COVID-19. Not even close. You know, nowhere near that. Maybe in New York it was worse. Certainly it was worse in New York. And certainly, by the way, in certain areas of New York it was worse. But it never reached the point where it was where the Gemara says 1 out of 500. So Rav Asher Weiss wants to know, is the threshold 1 out of 500? Because, friends, if it is, we know that we desecrate Shabbos for a woman in labor, and we get her whatever she needs. We do for her whatever she wants. And not even 1 out of 1,000 women die in childbirth. So how do you explain that? If the numbers are to create a magefa, or 1 out of 500, then why is a woman in childbirth considered sakanas nefashes? So Rav Asher Weiss first says, look, the Gemara, when it's determining what a dever is, it's not saying that this is what a dever is for sakanas nefashes. It's saying this is what a dever is to fast. To fast, the numbers have to be so great that it's 1 out of 500. But if the numbers are less, it doesn't mean it's not sakanas nefashos. It just means it's not a dever in the sense that we are required to fast. So, like, where do we turn? How do we determine what is the halachic definition of sakanas nefashos, like, statistically? So Rav Asher Weiss, kedarkoi, you know, scans through all of Shas and Paiskim. And the first Gemara he looks at is, well, the Gemara says that there are 4 people who have to bench goyimah. One who travels on the sea, one who goes in a desert, one who is sick and he's healed, one who is imprisoned in jail. But we have a very big machloikes, what the threshold is. The Rambam says if you have the flu, if you have an ear infection and you're cured, you have to bench goyimah. If you have any illness and you're cured, you have to bench goyimah. If you travel anywhere, you go from here to Connecticut, you have to bench goyimah. But the Torah disagrees. The Torah says, no, only a chayla sheyesh bo sakana has to bench goyma. Only if you travel in a desert, you have to bench goyma. So it seems like there's a machlokes. What is reckoned a sakana? Is it any illness, any travel, or only a lethal type of illness, or a very dangerous kind of travel? And this is actually a machlokes between the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, and the Rambam. The Shulchan Aruch goes like the Rambam. Shulchan Aruch says, any travel. I remember in my past shul, a guy got up to get an aliyah, and he benched goyma. I knew this guy. I said, where did you go? He said, I went to Lakewood. I said, Lakewood? You know, I don't like going there either. It's a very long trip, but why you bench goyma? It's not. He said, because it's more than 72 minutes. He was a Sfardi. And Rabbi Avadia Paskins, you have to bench goyma. That was eye-opening. But we don't do that. We follow the Ramo. We follow the tour. It has to be a dangerous kind of travel. So a question on the Rama is, Yushalmi says, every road is dangerous, you know? Oakland Avenue is dangerous. Peninsula Boulevard is dangerous. It's Bechezka Sakana. Isn't that a raya to the Rambam? And the Beis Yosef says, not a raya to the Rambam. That Gemara, when we say every road is dangerous, that's for Tfilas Haderech, every road is dangerous. But for Goymel, not every road is dangerous. Oh, so now we see different halachas have different definitions of danger. Regarding goyimel, you may need, you know, a life-threatening situation. Regarding tefillas hadarach, a lesser danger is required. So now here's a question. You know, this was probably the hottest issue before the corona. Is a person obligated to vaccinate his child? Because if you don't vaccinate your child, the chances of them developing a life-threatening illness are almost nothing. That's the fact. There's already, you know, I heard immunity. So is a person obligated? I'm not. Of course, I vaccinate my child. I'm not defending, but that's a halachic question. Are you halachically obligated to vaccinate your child? So Rav Asher Weiss says, absolutely. There's a chiyuv to give your child what he calls chisun hamashulash, the triple vaccination for chazeres, chatzeves, and ademes, which I guess means measles, mumps, and rubella. Yes, you're obligated to vaccinate. But what do you mean statistically, only, let's say, one out of 50,000 kids will die? Says Rav Asher Weiss, let's establish the following principle. Magen Avraham Paskins, that if someone is in a situation and the likelihood of them dying is one out of 1,000, you cannot desecrate the Shabbos. So if someone has a certain issue, a problem, and 999 out of 1,000, this was not an issue at all, you cannot desecrate the Shabbos. That's what the Magen Avraham Paskins. But the Magen Avraham also Paskins that you're allowed to desecrate Shabbos for a Yoyledes, even though less than 1 out of 1,000 women in labor die. So it's a stira. Why, when it comes to a woman in labor, do we say, even though the likelihood of her dying is almost nil, you could desecrate the Shabbos? And when someone has some kind of very unusual scenario, you can't desecrate the Shabbos if it's 1 out of 1,000 that he's going to die. So Rav Asher Weiss establishes the following rule. The rule goes like this. The rule is that if it's an out-of-the-ordinary situation, and you just don't know what the outcome is, if in all reasonable likelihood, it's exceptionally unlikely, pretty much doubtful that anything will happen, you can't desecrate Shabbos. But when there's a natural phenomenon like childbirth, we are required to desecrate the Shabbos. We don't care if only 1 out of 100,000 women will die. Since there's a natural, dangerous phenomenon, and between me and you, I'm not even sure I understand this chiluk fully, but I'm just saying the principle that he advances. If there's a natural, dangerous phenomenon, even if the likelihood of somebody dying is almost nil, but somebody's gonna die, we know that if we don't desecrate Shabbos for a woman in labor, one woman, today or tomorrow, she ain't gonna make it. You're allowed to desecrate Shabbos always, because there's a natural situation, and if we don't nip it in the bud, someone's gonna die. Yes, if a guy has some kind of crazy scenario and you don't know what the outcome is, you need to have reasonable suspicion that he's really in danger. But if there's so he says as follows. Another proof to this, another example of this, is an issue that the Binyan Tzion discusses about Metzitza B'peh. We all know that Metzitza B'peh is also quite a subject. And at first glance, the Binyan Tzion, the Aruch Lener, Rabbi Yaakov Etlinger, is really adamant against those who want to challenge Metzitza B'peh, want to abolish Metzitza B'peh. He says it's a minhag Yisrael and should be maintained. That's what he says in the beginning of Siman Chav Dalet. But at the end of Siman Chav Gimel, he says, look, you can't ignore the fact that if a moyel is ill, or he has a sore in his mouth, he might kill the baby. Even if it's only 1 out of many 10,000s, you can't do it. In other words, no one is allowed to abolish Metzitza B'peh. If everything is healthy, you should do it, the Binyan Tzion says, and tonight is certainly not the time to discuss this subject. I'm just bringing out a principle from the Binyan Tzion, that he definitely defends the practice in general, but he does say that if there is any question about the health of the mayal, or the mayal may have a sore, even though the likelihood of him killing the child is 1 out of 50,000, you cannot do it. So that means pure statistics are not the only barometer. It's not a matter of 1 out of 100, 1 out of 1,000, 1 out of 10,000. It really depends on the scenario. If it's an unusual scenario and you just don't know what the outcome will be, and you're sort of guessing, well, I don't know, it's possible, it might lead to second vashais, then you have to have reasonable suspicion. But if there's a natural phenomenon, a sick moyel, an illness, labor, then it doesn't matter, says Rav Asher Weiss, if corona will only kill 1 out of 100,000 people. What do you mean? You think if we go inside the shul, something's going to happen to somebody? No, I guarantee you, I'm confident. I would bet a lot of money that nothing's going to happen to anybody. So then, let's go for it. No, Rav Asher Weiss, and by the way, these are not just principles. He paskined. You can't go into shul yet, you know that. He paskined, you have to wait 2 weeks from when the governor gave an allowance. And I'm not saying I'm following that carte blanche, but I'm presenting this viewpoint that sakonas nefashos is not merely statistics. It is when there is a natural phenomenon. And people are still dying. You know, 80 people died in New York yesterday. So people are still dying. It didn't disappear. But the statistics are highly unlikely. That doesn't matter. It's immaterial. Doesn't matter. People are dying. And if you don't take precautions, today, tomorrow, the next day, someone will die. Then it's considered pikuach and sakonas nefashos. That's the principle of Rav Asher Weiss. And he says, if you know about the epidemic in 1832 in the times of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, and we don't have time this evening, there's an entire subject that I recommend perhaps take a look at on page 3 about in 1832, which was the year of... let's see if we could find it. It ends in a gimel because it was after Rosh Hashanah, so it was when... Tafresh Lamed Gimel. So, excuse me, Tafresh Lamed Gimel was the year the Tshuva was written, but Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, either legend has it that he got up at the Bima and he made Kiddush and he ate and he paskin that even healthy people could eat, which is a tremendous chiddush. And there's a lot of confusion about the story. I recommend you look at Ois Gimel, where some say this story never happened. In other words, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter himself did not eat, but he allowed others to eat. There was a lot of different approaches to the story, and I'm not going to get into it right now. I invite you to look at it on page 3. But in the Chassam Sofer Paskin, that it was permitted under a similar circumstance to eat. The Shaila Meishiv Paskin, that it was permitted to eat. And why would that be? Statistically, it was probably less than one out of the LF. But nevertheless, Rav Asher Weiss's principle is that whenever there is a natural danger, and if you're not careful, someone's going to die. You know, it's different than perhaps using a car. Maybe that's not a natural phenomenon. Okay? Yesh ladon, there's what to think about here. Because, you know, can we allow people to drive a car? Something's going to happen to somebody. No, maybe that's different than a natural phenomenon. Maybe that's considered an unusual circumstance. It's not natural for something to happen. It's when somebody makes an error or a mistake. But the bottom line is, this is not a matter of one out of 1,000. And as the Binyan Tzion says, even if one baby will die out of 50,000, it is sakonas nefashos. Okay, let me just speak out one interesting shaila, and then a few minutes of chizuk. If you go to page 7, we'll speak out one interesting shaila. I definitely heard that there were. I'm not going to say poiskim, but there was one particular chasidus that allowed their chasidim to listen to music this year during Sfira. And Rav Asher Weiss was asked, during this time when their people are suffering from anxiety, worry, depression, loneliness, can they listen to music this year during Sfira? I had a very nice young man, a young boy called, you know, can we listen to tapes in general during Sfira? You know, which is somewhat of a discussion. So Rav Asher Weiss's approach, again, I'm presenting his viewpoint tonight, was he has found that during this epidemic, this Rav said that this year women don't have to clean for Pesach. And this Rav said that this year Sfardim can eat kidneys. And this Rav said you could talk to your relatives in Zoom. And this Rav said you could plant on Chalamoid for therapy. And this Rav said you could... do this and do that. And So before you know it, between all the Rabbanim, Hakol Mutter, Hakol Shari V'Kayam. Says Rav Asher Weiss, this is a very important thing, and I'll tell you, people came, you know, could we sell our Kalim to Goyim? So the answer to all of these questions is, you cannot give a sweeping heter on any of them. You can't come out and legislate that because they're trying times, we lift, you don't have to clean for Pesach. You don't have to be toivel your kalim. You're allowed to listen to music. This is a very unhealthy practice because every rabbi is going to think, you know, what do my people need? What does my community need? You cannot give sweeping heterim on one particular prohibition. And then, you know, in short time, then there's no more Shulchan Aruch. So says Rav Asher Weiss, could you listen to music during this year's Sfira? Absolutely not. But what if somebody is depressed, and someone has anxiety, and someone is all alone? That's an individual Shaila. So then the Rav or the Dayan will deal with that particular case on a case-by-case basis. But it is extremely dangerous to come out with a, you know, a sweeping heter on any of the above. And it could be, there might be one individual who is a very, very difficult situation, and he could listen to music. By the way, Rav Asher Weiss says, especially on a tape is far more lenient than live music. And by the way, he says, you could listen to Shire Dveikos. Now, I don't know if he means, you know, Dveikos, but those kind of songs. Because those don't produce dancing, and the Iker Isser is music that leads to dancing. And it could be you'll find an old person, maybe he'll get a heter for the Zoom, maybe he'll get a heter for the music, maybe he'll get a heter for all of the above. But to give, you know, a sweeping heter on all of them, that's very difficult to do. I'll just tell you outside some of the other questions that he deals with, and maybe we'll discuss it on a different occasion, and I invite you to look at some of the Marma Koimois. Everybody knows you can't take a haircut on Chol HaMoed because you should have done so before Yom Tov. Let's say a guy was in quarantine and he came out on Chol HaMoed. We know if somebody gets out of jail on Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to take a haircut. What about someone who came out of quarantine? What do you do with Aliyos? You know, nobody could be near the Baal Koire. Could somebody make a long distance bracha? That would certainly be good for, you know, shul's raising money. We're selling kayin, and the kayin in his binoculars is going to make a baruchu, you know. Can you use Zoom to talk to your parents, your grandparents? They're worried, they're anxious, they're in sakana. You need to... And here's the million-dollar question that I'm sure everybody wants to know the answer to, and that is, when we finally get back to shul, do we need to stay in shul an extra 3 hours to make up all the 15 Kriyas HaTorahs that we missed? Yeah, I know you weren't too excited about that one. So see for yourself how Rav Asher Weiss paskins, as well as to a whole slew of, let's say there's only one ventilator. Who comes first? Does a kohen have precedence over a Levi? Does a man have precedence over a woman? And so on and so forth. Okay, just a few short thoughts about the Yom Tov Haba Aleinu Lativa.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.